Oh man, thank you guys for coming. I am really excited to be here. It is a great time to be alive, isn't it? It is really a good time. Guys, for the last few weeks, you know, I've talked about recession and revival, and I'm probably going to spend a lot of time talking somewhat about that. If you missed that last week, get those CDs out there. They're free. Free is always a good word for folks. Get you a copy of those, and if you want to give them to your friends and do that. But I won't go back and talk too much, a whole lot about it. But I want to help you through this recession. I want to help you through this, and I think that's my kind of job this summer. And guys, I want to tell you something. I had the opportunity, and it was just a wonderful time to speak Thursday morning at the local Chamber of Commerce. And I went to encourage them. But I got to tell you, I left encouraged. It was the Adairsville Bartow County, of which our own Denise Castro is the chairman. Guys, I got to tell you, I left encouraged because we've got some great leaders. We got some great leaders in this area. And I'm excited about what they're going to do. And I'm praying that we place our trust in them, that we encourage them, we lift them up, and I think they're going to do a great job. But looking at everything that's going around, I found a verse that kind of parallels with what's happening today, and it says, "During those dark times, it was not even safe to travel. Problems troubled the nation on every hand." You know, we don't just have economic problems. We've got international problems, we've got cultural problems, we've got spiritual problems, relational problems. But even in the darkest times, God always gives hope. Always gives hope. And during this time, God brought up this preacher guy. I believe his name was Azariah. And he had some words of hope to give to Asa, the king of Israel at that time. And the nation of Israel, and here they are in the next verses, and also in 2 Chronicles, it says, "Listen, all you people, the Lord will stay with you as long as you stay with him. If you seek him, you will find him. But if you abandon him, he will abandon you. For a long time, Israel has been without the true God and without God's law. But in their distress, they turned to the Lord and sought him, and he was found by them." So in our distress, and we are experiencing some distress, that we are to turn to the Lord. You, I, the church, the community, the county, the state, and ultimately the nation, is that we turn to the Lord, and not economic policies, not governmental policies, but that we turn to the Lord. If you want revival, and I believe you truly do, I want revival, we must reconnect to God. We have to reconnect to Him. And the first antidote there, it's in your outline if you'd like to write it down, is to a national recession or a personal recession is to connect with God. We got to connect with Him. We got to connect with Him in our lives and in our nation. And one of the things that I'm going to be talking about over just about the entire summer, I'm going to take a long time looking at it, and plus I'm going to be out some. You know, I got to do some vacation and things like that. But so this will last about the whole summer. Is I'm going to be talking about the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to be coming from there. Because the Lord's Prayer contains everything we need, you and I need, to get us through this recession. We're going to be looking at seven different phrases. And they're the answer to probably seven of the greatest stresses in your life. I'm talking about the things that cause you the most problems, more problems than anything. But I believe when you and I understand the meaning behind these phrases, that our peace is going to soar. And don't we desire peace? I believe it will soar. So, if you will, I'd love for you to turn to your Bibles, because it's not in your outline. You know, if you got your Bibles with you, to Matthew 6. If you don't have your Bibles with you, write that down, Matthew 6, because I would love for you to, you know, I don't expect everyone to go home and look at it, but at least know where the Lord's prayer is. Matthew 6, beginning in verse 9, says, "This then," this is what Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen." You got it? This is how I should pray. Our Father. This is what it's kind of is a prayer of connection. This is kind of God's intervention into our insecurities, these seven stresses that we have. And I love the way it starts off with our Father. Because most of our insecurities that we have as an adult we get from our family. We get them, you know, growing up. And this first prayer, this our Father, is a prayer of connection. And we're going to look at it today and next week. We're going to talk about the importance of it. And so just for this week and next week, we're going to talk about our Father. Not the rest of the verses, but just the our Father. Because when Jesus, it's really important, because when Jesus said our Father, it broke all the rules. Those two words exploded all the stereotypes about God. Until Jesus came, nobody really knew God as our Father. You know, it was Creator, Almighty. I believe, if I remember reading right, God was only referenced to his Father seven times in the Old Testament. So Jesus broke the mold. He's saying God is not this angry tyrant. He's not this cosmic cop. He's not this impersonal force. And so write this phrase down. It's in your outlines to fill in the blank. Is that God is a person and not a power. I talked to him this morning. Had a great conversation with him last night. He told me so many things about today's message. And I just had a good time with him. He's a person. And guys, he's a person. You and I were created in his image. God is personal, and he has this ability to interact with us, to have a relationship with us. He is a Father. And not a force. That's, you know, I told you last week, that's why when we pray in Christ's name and not may the force be with you or something like that, you know. Because we can relate to a person, can't we? He's a Father, and that's the way he wanted it. And we can connect to a Father, but there's only one problem about connecting with a Father. And we want to deal with that today. For many people, Father is a negative term. It brings up, you know, all kind of bad memories. The term Father brings up hurt. The term Father brings up difficulties, problems. You know, some I've heard some people say, "If God is like my Father, no thanks." You know, you ever heard the phrase, "Just wait till your daddy gets home"? Yeah, and I heard it a lot. And you start to think of God that way, you know. Oh, man, he gonna wear it out when he gets home. And the truth is, human fathers can make the home hell on earth. That's just kind of the truth. They can do that. They can be moody, or we can be moody. Abusive, controlling, violent, vicious, So sometimes with some people, when we say Father, it stirs up some negative emotions. But you know, quite frankly, the problem that we have, our biggest problem is not with God at all. The problem is with your father. The problem is with your dad. Your problem is not with God at all. You've taken this baggage from growing up with this authority, and you've placed it unconsciously on God. And no wonder you have a difficult time getting to know God. We transfer all this mixed up emotions. I've done it too. Because guys, if you've had an unreasonable father, you tend to think that God was unreasonable. You think, why even try? If you had an unreliable father, then you have a tough time trusting God. If you had an unconcerned, distant father, then you wonder, does God really want to be even involved in my life? I don't want to bother him. Then if you had an unpleasable father, then you may think, it's never enough. Sometimes you just tend to think that God's upset with you, and you carry around a lot of guilt. Recent study just came out here in America. 25% of all white children are growing up without the presence of a father in the home. 50% of all Hispanic kids are growing up without a father in the home. Almost 75% of African Americans are growing up without the presence of a father in a home. No wonder we don't get it when we pray our Father. No wonder that it's hard to connect. In the book, I forget who the author is, Faith of the Fatherless, the author interviewed 60 or 70 atheists, and out of the interviews he had one common thing that came, was that their dad was either distant, dead, or demanding. None of them, of the atheist interview, had a natural connection to their father. And so today and next week, I want to help you let go of that misconception of God and of God the Father. Because I believe that it's helping me, that the truth will set you free. So there's four aspects of God that I want to share with you. And today I'm just going to talk about two of them, because as a caring pastor, I want to give you a break and not talk about them all at one time. But actually, I really want you to get these, because this part of the prayer is precious to me. Number one thing is that how we can connect with God, because number one, He is a caring Father. He is a caring Father. He is loving. He's compassionate. He loves us more than we'll even ever realize. He loves us more than we probably, want to love Him. He desires that relationship. Psalms 103:13 says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who honor Him. He's compassionate. He cares about everything in our life. One of my favorite stories in the Bible was about the disciples. Most of the disciples were fishermen, and they were out on the boat in a storm, and Jesus was with them, and a storm came up, and Jesus was in the boat. He's asleep. He's up in the bow of the boat asleep, and the storm was going, and apparently it got really bad, because the disciples, are fishermen. They're used to storms, and they weren't afraid of storms. It was kind of everyday life for them. And so they went to him and they asked a question. Lord, don't you care? Lord, don't you care? Guys, I want to tell you something, just as a little side note. If you got Jesus in your boat, it ain't going to sink. It ain't gonna sink. If you got Jesus in your boat of life, it ain't going to sink. If you got Jesus in the boat of your marriage, it ain't going to sink. If you got Jesus in the boat of your career, it ain't going to sink. If you got Jesus in the boat of your relationships, it ain't going to sink. But you got to get him in the boat. You got to get him in the boat. And if we put Jesus in this recession, our boat ain't going to sink. Our boat is not going to sink. But Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that we're about to drown? Don't you care that we're going under? You and I ask that question a lot. When we get a bad health report, we cry and say, Lord, don't you care? Why me? Or when we get served divorce papers, we say, Lord, don't you care about me at all? Or Lord, when we get the bank statement, we say, oh Lord, don't you care? Or when we get our 401k, don't you care? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. He cares more than you do. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. He cares. Drop all your anxiety. Let it go. Just relax and drop it. Relax and drop it. As long as you're worried, you're not relaxing. And circle the word all in there. All. Do you know what the word all means in the original Greek? All. It means all. I looked it up. Everything. Every one of them. You know, he cares. Does God care about your house payment? Yes, he does. You know, does God care about your health? Yes, he does. Does God care about your dating life? Yes, he does. Does God care about your grades? Yes, he does. Does God care about your zits? Yes, he does. Does God care about your nausea? Yes, he does. Does God care about your gas? Yes, he does. Y'all laugh more than 9 o'clock service. They didn't get the whole gas joke. Maybe more guys in here. We like that. But anyway. My point in saying that is he is a caring father and he cares about every detail in your life. Every detail in your life. He cares. So don't worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we wear? Your heavenly Father knows you need these things. How many of you guys are dads? Raise your hand. How many of you guys are dads? Look at that. So many dads in here. Dads, do you want your kids to worry about what to eat? Dads, do you want your kids to worry about what to wear? You know us guys, even though we're imperfect, sometimes we're selfish. We at least care that much about our kids, of what they eat, and if they're warm. God says, hey man, if you care that much, don't you think me a perfect father? The very essence of love cares even more. Don't you think I care? You know, when you and I begin to worry, worry is kind of a warning light that we've forgotten how much God loves us. Worry is a warning light that we forgot how much God cares. You know, the reason you worry is not because you don't love God enough. The reason you and I worry is because we don't know how much God loves us. We really don't know how much God loves us. If you and I knew how much he cares, if we could get our arms around that, you have to love him back. You have to love him back. We can't help but love him back. Now, second step, or the second trait of God, is he is a consistent father. He is dependable. He can be counted on. He is reliable. Every good and perfect gift is from the Father, who does not change like shifting shadows. Human fathers are unpredictable. We're often, what's the word, fickle. We're fickle. I don't remember the book, but a young lady wrote this. My dad was, I never knew about my dad, what was going to happen from day to day. He was silent or violent. I didn't know if he would hug me or slug me. I didn't know if he would accept me or reject me. I didn't know whether it was because he was drunk or tired or watching a game on TV. I just couldn't depend on Dad to be consistent. Guys, inconsistent fathers produce insecure children. God is consistent, though. God never has a bad hair day. God isn't grouchy. He's a consistent father. He is not moody. God always acts the same loving way toward me. I want to read this together, this next verse. You guys read this together with me. The 9 o'clock service didn't read it together. But you guys are awake, right? Let's go. Even if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Guys, we know the world is changing faster and faster, more than any before. But even in this fast pace, no matter how our young minds think, we need something that never changes. We need something that never changes. Everything on this planet is temporary. There's nothing that will last forever. The only thing that will not change is the consistency of God the Father and the love of him. If you want to make it through this recession, you got to sink your hooks into a relationship and connecting back with God, because he won't change. Your jobs may change. Your relationships may change. Your 401k may change. Anybody give a testimony to that? But God's consistent. He will not change. Romans 11:29 says, God will never go back on his promises. Dads, I want to talk to you here. Men, the number one cause of resentment and rebellion in children is broken promises. Did you know that? You ever hear, Dad, you promised? Broken promises cause resentment and cause rebellion. It's that simple. God didn't break his. God doesn't break promises. Psalms 59:10 says, my God is changeless in his love for me. Our God is caring. He's consistent. Now here's the problem. All of us grew up with inconsistent fathers. I am an inconsistent father. As a result, it has created some insecurities in my children. We're all inconsistent. The good news is God the Father is not. He's consistent. Guys, I want to tell you, you do not have to let the struggles that you have with your dad to bring you down. You don't have to let them do that. Luke and Sarah do not have to let the struggles with me bring them down to have a fun relationship with God. We want to connect. He wants to connect. Last night I've been spending more time with God, because you know, I've told y'all before, I don't like being by myself. I just don't like it. I don't know if there's a fear or what. I don't like being by myself. I want to talk to somebody. But I've been riding my bike to work, as you can tell how physically fit I am. And so I've got about an hour a day that I'm by myself. Well, I'm not by myself. I'm with the Lord. And then I cut grass, you know, and at home, and I weed eat, and I really have a good time doing that. Then I found out, because I'm by myself. And I found out I'm not by myself. I get to talk to God, and He talks to me. And to be honest with you, He told me last night, I've missed you. He said, Jim, I've missed you. You know, and Sarah drives up now. Sarah's a big driver. And I don't get to see her as much as I used to. So I was on the lawnmower. I hollered at her, and she looked at me, and I gave her the, I love you. She gave it to me back. That's all I needed. It's nice to have that little connection. A little quick connection. Then Luke comes up, and you know, he's 12, and he's all over the neighborhood just like I was. And I said, Luke, I sure am glad you like spending time with me. He said, I sure am glad too, Daddy. I said, I hope you don't ever stop spending time with me. He said, I won't, Daddy. And he hugged me, and he went in the house. God spoke to him and said, Jim, I don't want you to stop spending time with me. He says, I missed you. I want you back. Maybe it's you that needs to connect with God. Maybe it's you, just like me, needed to slow down. He's missed you. He wants to love you. He desires to love you. Guys, I got to tell you, it was wonderful talking to him last night. And it was wonderful weed eating with him. He's a good God. He's a patient God, and he's a consistent God. He loves me, and he's dependable. He's reliable. He's reasonable. And I can please him. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, I pray favor on these folks. And I thank you for, and it humbles me that they even show up. And God, we're experiencing a recession down here. Lord, we need you. We need to be with you. We need your providence. And I'm sorry that I hadn't always been there with you. Lord, help me reconnect. Help me make some decisions to keep my time with you sacred. God, I thank you for the talk we had last night. Lord, bless this church. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.